yards. And the freshman, Earl Jackson, comes in for, looks like Bryce Frank's a little hobbled there. It's Twins left, single receiver right, ball in the middle of the field. It's going to Jackson here. Nowhere to go as a bunch of piles. Nick Montes and the gang. Will Campbell, another one. Campbell will probably get credit for the tackle, but great reaction by the Pio D. And
yeah, there wasn't much there.
The hope here, Johnny, is this deep in Carthage territory, they're not going to try anything
cute.
Look
at the mark he gave him.
Especially trailing by five. Well, looks like a loss of one or maybe.
Brought down by Montas behind the line of
scrimmage. So lost more than that.
Second and they're calling it second and nine. Should be second and 11. So twin packages, both sides empty backfield. Jackson comes in motion. He fakes to him. He's looking downfield. He's got a guy over the middle. It's caught.
No. No.
Let's see. They're calling it incomplete. So
hit the ground.
It was a great effort there by the tight end, but it hit the ground. Orlandino, the intended receiver. There's a great name.
For the Carthage O.
Third and 11 coming
Peter Orlandino, the 6'3 junior from Naperville. So big third and 11 play. Twin packages both sides for the Firebirds.
Come on, Piles.
Earl Jackson on Bryce Lowe's right. Big play. 12 minutes and counting. No, 12 minutes left, excuse me. Here's the snap. Looking to his right. It's a fly pattern. Oh, it's dropped. Great coverage there by Elliot Miller. Carthage wants a flag, but I don't think so.
He might have got away.
Yeah, Miller turned and looked. He turned and looked, and he made the play. Miller did all the right things.
We'll
any contact
that.
There was incidental.
Okay.
Oh, jeez. So another a roughing the passer penalty.
Oh,
wow.
No.
You know, just when you thought the Pioneers were going to get the ball back with good field position, a 15-yard penalty.
Jeez.
Now moves Carthage to the 24-yard line there. So, a great stand by the Pio defense gets negated by a roughing the passer, and the mental mistakes continue for the Pios.
One step forward, two steps back.
Twins left, single receiver right, Earl Jackson.
Come on, Piles.
On Lowe's left here. Time for a Pio turnover, I think. Here's the snap. It's a flea flicker. He's going downfield, and it's... Oh! Elliot Miller is about to intercept it, and Wiles came across. Looked like he was going to catch it, but it turned out he was just knocking it away, I think. But, woo! If Wiles catches that, he's gone, I think,
yeah,
too,
he's
Johnny.
He's got a lot of real estate if he'd have caught that.
Because Miller didn't see him coming. He thought it was going to him. So second and 10, 11:49. This game's had a lot of excitement today, Johnny, maybe more than we were expecting.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a runaway train, but it ain't.
Trips left, tight end wing left, tail back. On Lowe's left, here's a snap. It's a quick pass into the flat. And he's got some positive yardage, about five or six.
And there's a flag.
And there is a flag here. Let's see.
Way away from the play, too. I don't know what happened there.
And, so I'm wondering. I'm hoping it's not against the Piles. Let's see. But it happened away from the play. Right now it stands as a 5 or 6 yard gain for the Firebirds, setting up a manageable third down. Let's see what the call is. You know, usually where the flags drop, you have an idea where it's going, but.
Yeah, that's just so far away from the play, though.
It was an eligible player downfield. And so the referees conference and decide there's no flag, which as long as it's not against us. 11:43 remaining. A big third and about five here. Third and four at the Carthage 30-yard line. Twin packages both sides, empty backfield. And it's another pooch play. So Frank is going outside, and he's
another
knocked
flag.
Away. There's another flag. This should be a holding. Piles are there to stop him short.
Lowe's pass was complete the break. Gain of two on the play. There is a penalty on the play.
Definitely in that holding area.
Let's see. And it's a quick pass off of the little pooch coming from the flank was Frank. And it is a holding. It's offense. Probably the first. That might be the first holding call all day.
Yeah, there hasn't been many. I mean, I thought I saw a couple other ones, but that's the first one they called.
Finally. So the Firebirds will go back.
Correction. The holding penalty is declined. Fourth down.
It's fourth down, and they're going to decline it. which I think is a – oh, here comes the punt unit for Carthage. So, again, trailing only by five, Carthage will punt it away. And
hey, that's a wise move with the time that's on the clock and the way these two teams are playing.
And J.R. Muth is going to return this punt, so they got some more experience back there to return this. So I like that move. Ankiewicz into punt. J.R. Muth at about the 38-yard line of the pile. So if everything goes well, they should have decent field position here, maybe more. There's a snap. The punt. Muth's got to go back. Fair catch at the 32-yard line. So
wise.
Good catch there. He was kind of stumbling to get there. It was a well-punted ball there by Ankiewicz.
And he had number three Barron down on him pretty hard here, so that was wise to go fair catch there.
Yeah, good call. So Carroll takes over with 11-12 remaining in the game here. First and 10, a very important drive for our Pios here. I would think they would want to get six or seven here. It's been a very slow fourth quarter in terms of that clock moving, so I won't be surprised if we see a running play here out of the gate. Twins right, single receiver left, ball in the left hash here at the 32 of Carroll. Johnson on Raby's right. Raby going deep to Eichstad, and it's caught. First down.
Great
punch.
Job by Austin, my God.
At about the 45 of Carthage, well covered there.
Boy, did he show
Jaleef
his athletic.
Barnes, but yeah.
He's just said, so John. Athletic. Wow.
He looked like one of those big forwards going for a rebound, like Dave Cowens from our younger days, Johnny.
He had a vertical jump like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish.
Twins left, single receiver right, ball in the right hash here. First and 10 Piles of the 45, 10:43 and counting in the game. Johnson on Raby's left, the only tailback to play for the Piles today. It's a handoff to Johnson going to his right, and he's met in the backfield, but he spins out, and he at least gets a yard there. Big number 98 of the Piles. First time we're calling his number. Let's see if we can find him in the...
Down by Hughes for no gain on the play.
Jordan Hughes, a sophomore from another one from Chesterton, Indiana. He's a big fella there.
He is.
6 feet, 255 pounds. So second and 10, they're calling it. Twins left, single receiver right. 10:06 and counting. Johnson on Raby's left. Raby looks to his left, quick pass. He's got Eichstad, but a little too high, and Eichstad just knocked it down to avoid an interception there. So Raby hasn't been off too much today. He's been pretty spot on, as we saw from the halftime stats and even what we've seen here in the second half. So, and worse yet, it stops the clock with 10 minutes remaining here. Big third down play for the Pios. At the 45 of Carthage. Twins left, ball in the right hash, single receiver right. Johnson on Raby's left. Here's a snap. Raby looking to his left. He's got a guy. It's intercepted!
Oh, no.
And he's got some field to go. That's number 30 and brought down at the 46 of Carthage there. Flag is down after the play. Let's see what that's about. Raby might have gotten roughed up there. It was after the interception, though.
Carthage takes over.
Kyle Freimeyer with the interception there, the junior. So another personal foul, but this time against Carthage. So instead of being right at the 46, they're going to go back most likely to the 31 of the Pios. And again, another big miss for Raby. He was really off on that. There was probably a miscommunication on the pattern. So, buckle up, fans. 9:49 remaining. Carroll leading Carthage 27-22. The first turnover of the game. Here comes Carthage at their own 31. Trips left. No receivers right. Tail back on Lowe's left. Here's the snap, and it's going to go to the tailback up the middle there. That's Earl Jackson, the freshman. And
come on, let's get him.
He's not going anywhere. He bounces off a few tackles, and I think he might have even lost a yardage there, or lost a little bit there. Either way, it's a good stop there. He bounced off a couple piles before he's finally brought down, and I don't know who gets credit. So Luke Brosig with the tackle.
No gain on the play.
Listen, Brosig's out of Green Bay.
That's right. The 6 foot, 215-pound sophomore from De Pere in Brown County. Trips right, single receiver left. twin receivers left. Empty backfield here for Lowe. He gets the snap. A lofter up the floater up the field. It's incomplete. Some good pressure there, too, by looks like, was that Will Campbell or Damon Loker?
That almost looked like Campbell got interfered with there, but it was uncatchable.
And it was a buddy pass, too. You know, if our guy turns around,
yeah,
boy, that might have been a pick six.
Could have been, yeah. But
so third and 10 here. Pyle's making a strong stand so far. Can they hold the Firebirds here? 9:05 remaining. Ball at the 31 of Carthage.
Sure like to see him stop him.
Trips right, single receiver left. I'd like to see us get a turnover. It's our turn now. Earl Jackson on Lowe's right. Now he goes in motion. Actually, that's Bryce Frank. And it's going to be a screen to Frank, but there's some Piles there to meet him, and he goes nowhere. Will Campbell again. A.J. Moore also putting some pressure. Jagger Vine was in there. Jake Binkowski really nowhere to go for Bryce Frank. So
they're sending the punting unit on.
So another big stop here. J.R. Muth comes out again to receive for the Piles.
That was a good series for the Piles, man.
It sure was. You know, with 8:37 and counting in the game.
It changes the whole dynamic here.
It sure does. And from the spot of the punt, Ankiewicz is at his own 18. J.R. Muth at his own 39 for the Piles. Punt almost blocked. They're good pressure.
It's
gonna
be
I don't think so, because he might have got a piece of that. No call.
That was a
great pressure. That was Amarian Bridges on the pressure there.
You know, that punter got hit.
He did. Carthage faithful.
He did acting.
There might have been a little, and maybe that's what the ref was thinking. It was a soccer fake.
Yeah. But the Piles coaching staff is not very happy.
You mean the Carthage?
I'm sorry.
The Birds of Fire.
The Firebirds are not happy. I think they did a good acting job there.
So here comes Raby and company. Twins right, single receiver left. Marcus Johnson on Raby's left. Tight end wing right in the form of Reed Breckheimer. Here's a snap. Raby looks to his left. He's got Eichstad. Great pressure there. He had it. And number 30 for Carroll knocked it away. Carthage. Isaiah Bird. So they're playing tighter on Eichstad now. That surely would have been a 6 or 7 yard gain.
It's second down.
So now I think you fake and you go up if Raby's got the time. Twins right, single receiver left. 8:13 remaining. Clock stops here. Second and 10. Tight end wing right. Here's the snap. It's going to go to Johnson up the middle. He cuts it in. He's got some positive yardage. Brought down finally near the 45.
Got about 5 yards on that run.
That makes it looks like a manageable third and five or four here. They need to get. They're marked at. It's a 6 yard gain. So he's at the 45 yard line. 49 is the yard to gain. To move the chains. Pardon the rhyme. Trips left, ball in the middle of the field. Twins right, empty backfield for Raby. Let's see, kind of a dime package here for the Carthage. And a timeout is called, it looks like, by Carthage.
Set the play clock to 25 seconds.
Oh, they're resetting the play clock, okay.
Thank you.
7:35, okay. Well, the clock continues to run. Twins right, trips left, empty field for Raby. Here's the snap. Raby to the right. He's got Eichstad.
I think he's got it.
Josh Hill, he's got first down
yardage
at the 50.
Moving the chains, Don.
First down and a clutch catch by Hill under heavy coverage on a quick pass by Raby. I think that's Hill's first catch of the game.
8 to 5 yards.
So both tight ends come out as Sammy Muth goes off the field and J.R. Muth. So we got an equipment timeout here. So if someone's having a flange repaired or something.
Yeah, that was an important series right there.
It sure was.
You know, to keep possession of the ball and get that first down. You got 7:24 left on in this contest.
And the clock starts winding, 7:22 and counting. Single receivers both sides, double tight ends here. Johnson on Raby's left. It's a handoff to Johnson going right. Some good blocking and not much there for Johnson, maybe a yard or two. Another great stop by the Firebirds D. Chris DeVito.
Gain of a yard on the play. Brought down by DeVito and Warner.
Danny DeVito. Chris DeVito leading the team in tackles. 82 going into the game. The senior from Arlington Heights, Rolling Meadows High School. So because he lives, shall we say, north of downtown or west of downtown, he didn't get to go to Hersey. So 6:34 and counting, second and nine. Twins left, single receiver right. Raby fakes a handoff on the snap. He's going to his left, looking for Eichstad. Oh, great coverage again. It was in Eichstad's hands.
It was very close.
And Isaiah Bird knocked it away. The freshman playing like an upperclassman. I think he timed it beautifully. So a third and nine situation for the Pios. And ball's on the right hash here. Twins left with Sammy Muth in the flank. J.R. Muth in the flank. Eichstad in the split end. Josh Hill all alone on the right side here. Johnson on Raby's left. Here's the snap. Raby rolls out left. Looking now. Heavy pressure, and he gets sacked. A big defensive play there. Trying to get the number here. I want to say 20. 29. Garrett Warner, the senior from Richland, Michigan, Hackett Catholic. Boy, that was a huge sack.
That was. That's a big deal for Carthage, man.
Noah Strebler at his 30. Jordan Wiles back to receive for the Cards. 5:51 and counting. Left in the game. Here's the snap. Strebler boots it deep. Wow. Wiles has to go back for. He's going to let it go into the end zone for a touchback. So a clutch punt there by Strebler. We'll gladly take that compromise. As well, Wiles didn't even bother looking backwards. He knew that was sailing away.
Yeah, that was a pretty deep.
You're kind of hoping for a misjudgment there, yeah. And that the ball would maybe bounce back, but
or you get a reverse bounce on that. Didn't.
Coach Holly, the special teams coordinator, told him to just knock it out of the park.
So we got the Pios at 27 and the Firebirds at 22 with 5:41 left.
5:41 left in the game. Twins left, single receiver right, ball at the 20. Right hash, tight end left wing, and tailback on Lowe's left. And it's going to go to the tailback here. It's
come on, let's get him.
He gets around end. He's got some positive yardage, first down yardage, and then some. They're still trying to get him down. He finally goes down at the 43-yard line of the Pios. Earl D-Day Jackson. 24 yards and a whereabouts unknown, a 24-yard gain. They were close to getting him near the line, but he just... He put another gear on, and could the Pio defense be tired here, Johnny? It's a fair question to ask. Ball on the right hash here at the 49 of Carthage. Twins left, single receiver right. Jackson on Lowe's left. Here's the snap. He fakes the handoff. Lowe's looking downfield. Now he's going to run it, and he slides. Good stop there. No, that was a clean hit. Carthage wanting a flag there, but
looked a little bit late, but
slid,
there's no flag.
But he... I think they were looking for a helmet-to-helmet.
Yeah, there. Targeting is what they think.
So no gain on the play here. Actually, I stand correct. The ball's at the 44. I said 49 earlier.
Tell you, it looks like one of these games down where the last guy to have possession of the ball is going to win this thing.
Be your winner, yep. So 4:39 and counting. Ball on the right hash. Twins left, single receiver right. Tight end wing right. Jackson on Lowe's right. Quick pass up middle. Flag is down.
Flag. Oh, hey, just nailed him.
The Drake Emmanuel. Drills what the general, Westmoreland. Let's check the penalty, though.
Offside, defense, number 16.
Gibson Groves, the receiver on that.
How could that be?
So an offside from the defense. It remains second down, and that now creates a second and five situation. So another break for Carthage here.
God, the penalty's just killing them.
And I think at some point here, let's see what if Carthage converts here, I think Coach Buda's got to call timeout and give the defense a chance to rest here. Twins left, single receiver right here. And it's going to be handoff to Jackson from the left. He goes to the left. He's got a hole. He's got first down yardage. And finally brought down at the 40-yard line of Carthage.
Jackson carries for a gain of 11.
Clock continues to run, 4:06. The ball is now at the Carroll 40-yard line. And Carthage is right back at the line after a very brief huddle. Ball on the right hash. Twins left, single receiver right. Tight end wing right. Jackson on Lowe's right. And it's going to go to Jackson up the middle. He's got a decent hole, but Will Campbell's there to shut it down. Still manages to get three or four on that, though.
Jackson on the carry.
So good rush there by the freshman, showing good poise. Drake Emanuel gets credit for the tackle. The Drake. 3:26 and counting.
Gain of three on the play.
Second and seven from the Pioneers' 37-yard line. Twins left, single receiver right, tight end wing left, Jackson on Lowe's right. Here's the snap. It's going to go to Jackson up the middle. He's going to cut it out left here, and he's met by a couple piles, but after another good gain there, setting up third and three.
Jackson on the carry. Brought down by Minkowski.
Jake Minkowski credited with the tackle. Looked like Travis Runberg was also in there. So,
of course, field goal doesn't help here. They 30 yard touchdown.
30-yard line is where they need to go. 2:49 and counting in the game here. Ball in the middle of the field. Twins right, single receiver left. Tight end wing left. Jackson on Lowe's left. Here's the snap. Lowe, quick pass on the middle. It's caught, and he pushes forward for first down yardage. Great catch and yards after catch there. There was great coverage there by the piles. But the big man, Orlandino, 89, using all that size to push the Drake forward. Ball at the 28 of the Pios. Here comes Carthage back at the line. 2:13 and counting in the game. 27-22 in favor of the Pios. Twins right, single receiver left, ball on the left hash. It's a handoff to Jackson going to the right. He's got some room. Breaks another tackle. Breaks it all. Finally tripped up there.
Wow.
By A.J. Moore, a shoestring tackle.
We got three guys.
Jackson almost broke three tackles there, but finally the trip, the hand tackle there by Moore. So a one-yard gain, 1:46 and counting here for Carthage.
Gain of a yard on the play.
Twins left, ball on the right hash, single receiver right, tight end wing right, Jackson on Lowe's right. Here's a snap. Lowe fakes a handoff. He's looking downfield. He's got a guy. It's caught. Touchdown, Carthage. Jordan Wiles. And we knew his number would be called sooner or later on a post pattern. And the coaches have the two signals in the air. They're going to go for two here.
And the crowd goes wild.
It's 28-27. And this is why we play the games, Johnny. 1:28 remaining. Still plenty of time for that Pio offense if they can get something together here. So at the two-yard line, they're lining up empty backfield. For Bryce Lowe, twin packages both sides, tight end wing left. Here's a snap. Lowe under some pressure, throws it into the end zone.
And it's caught it. Oh, my God. Well, the Pios
got
their work
Wiles again.
For
it looked like Elliot Miller was going to get it, but
yeah.
He jumped too soon.
It's mistimed the jump.
And all this happened because of roughing the passer on third down. When it looked like the Pioneers were going to get off the field. So, and for the first time today, Carthage has a lead, and what better time to have it here in your rivalry game. And the players and the fans are getting really pumped here. And Johnny, I think, well, you're down by once. I doubt they're going to try to do that that line drive onside kick. That's been pretty popular lately. Actually, you know, you're up by
three.
You're up by three. So, no, you're up by two. Oh, yeah. You're up by three, 30-27. I don't like the way they got it lined up on top of the clock. You know, that score,
yeah,
but it's hinky.
Yeah, it's kind of
usually
wacky.
You got the score on either both sides.
Yeah.
So a field goal can tie, but, of course, the Pioneers want to come away with the W. Ankiewicz will kick off.
Might see an overtime game here today, Don.
I would just as soon see a Pio win and go home.
Yeah.
So Ankiewicz lines up. There's a kick. It's a squibber. And it's going to be fielded by Austin Eichstad. He's running forward. He's got some good yardage here.
Oh, he almost broke it.
Yeah, but knocked down at the 46. So great field position.
Oh, my God.
For Raby and company. And
whoo, that was close.
I think the key to this drive, you know, you got a senior quarterback. Two games remaining.
leave it all on the field, huh?
Well, that's it. No, Raby's got to use his legs here.
Yeah, I'm thinking so.
He's got to use his legs here and create some havoc here.
Yeah, if he sees something that's going wonky, he's got to take off.
He's got to look at other receivers now that they've keyed on Eichstätt really well. Twin packages both sides. Johnson on Raby's right here, first and 10. Here's a snap, quick pass. He's got a guy. It's caught. I think that's Josh Hill for a 5-yard gain at the 49. Clock continues to run, 1:16 and counting. So make that second and about five. Trips left, single receiver right. Johnson on Raby's right. Here's a snap. Raby looks to his right again. He's got Hill. It's caught. Clock continues to run. He's short of first down yardage. It's going to be a third and one, third and about a half a yard here. 54 seconds and counting for the Pios. Coach Buda calls timeout here. I think he didn't like the spot. I think he thought that Hill was
back on the clock here.
Yeah, but I think he thought that Hill was in first down yardage. And yes, I think some time has to go back on. I think the refs are discussing it now.
Well, he was nowhere near the first down yardage, as far as I could tell.
Oh, I thought he caught it, and then as he was coming back, he's really close. That's for, and look where that marker is.
Game clock operator, please reset the game clock to 52 seconds.
So the clock is reset to 52 seconds here. Pios trailing for the first time today, 30-27. In this old Musket rivalry game that's lived up to all its billing. And somebody forgot to tell these Firebirds that they're 1-6.
Right.
They are playing like a contender here.
Yeah.
And using a lot of underclassmen to do it. Earl Jackson, the freshman, D-Day Jackson carrying a lot of the load here for the Birds of Fire. So a third and short here. Twins left. Single receiver right, ball in the right hash. And here we go. Here's a snap. It's going to go to Johnson. He's got first down yardage. Yep, they move the chains. So the clock should stop momentarily while they move the chains. But Pioneer offense getting right back on the ball here. Twins left, single receiver right. Clock runs, 42 seconds of counting. Here's the snap. Raby going deep.
It's going deep.
Down to Eichstätt. Oh, almost caught. It looked like there was some contact there.
Boy, there was. That was pretty handsy.
And the freshman, Isaiah Bird, got away with some contact there, I thought. So make that second and 10. 36 seconds remaining. One timeout remaining for the Pios, if I remember correctly. Or maybe two. Two timeouts for the Pios. Twins left, single receiver right. Johnson on Raby's left here, 30-27. Pios trailing in this last drive. He's going, he's got a guy, and it's,
he's out of bounds.
Caught out of bounds there. What a heck of a play, Josh Hill. He's a little shaken up there. He managed to catch that ball, but he landed funny out of bounds. Yeah. He had to climb over that corner to catch that.
Yeah, he landed
out third down. We got an official timeout for an injury.
30 seconds left. Woo.
30 seconds left, exactly. And this is a game, Johnny, it's seen all the drama.
Yeah, we're going to have to lobby for some stronger scoring games here.
There we go.
From the Pios, because I don't need this kind of tension. How about you, Don?
Well, yeah, and you know, and again, it's why you play the games. We were expecting a big offensive effort by Carroll like we saw against Illinois Wesleyan and against Elmhurst, but you know, Carthage is using a lot of younger players here. We've only used one running back today. Mikey Coleman or Jackson Case have not had any touches. It's been the freshman, Marcus Johnson, here. Twin packages both sides. Johnson on Raby's left. A very important third and 10 here. Here's a snap. Raby, he's going to run it. And he's going to slide down.
Oh, he slid. He's short.
Balled about the 37-yard line, so it sets up a fourth and manageable and Pios will use another timeout. They do have one remaining here.
24 seconds left.
So, and again, I respect the call, but again, with the senior Josh Raby, why not continue running and push forward and make it a fourth and one or two, or maybe even get the first
there?
Yeah,
I thought he had a chance to get the first if he'd put his shoulder into it, but, you know.
So, but I know, you know, Coach Buda was a quarterback himself. yep. at Oshkosh and at Greenfield High. And I was at one of the practices when he was teaching the quarterbacks how to take that slide.
Like I occasionally will say, yep. that's why we're up here and they're down there.
No doubt. 24 seconds remain. They're calling it fourth and four. Let's see what Coach Buda will dial up here.
Well, here's for all the marbles here.
This is for everything, Johnny. Ball's in the right hash, 39. They need to get to the 34. 38, 30. Trips left, single receiver right. Raby gets it. He's rolling out left. He's got some room. He's going to run it. He's got first down yardage. He's brought down at the 32-yard line.
I think they marked him
he's short. I think he's short. He looks like he's short. I thought he had it.
So did I.
But they may mark him short. The Carthage sign is saying, yeah.
It's over.
So the Firebirds will take over on downs and win the game in a big upset. The Pioneers will now go even at 4-4, 3-4 in the conference. A heartbreaking loss. The only thing you can pray for is an errant snap. I liked the call, but... So Carthage goes into the victory formation. And that'll do it. The clock will wind down. And the Firebirds of Carthage will win their second game, and it's quite the celebration. And they're coming to get the old musket as Jordan Wiles waves it vigilantly in the air. So after 2 years in Coach Buda's office, the old musket comes back to Carthage. A very heartbreaking loss. And
boy, what a game, though, huh? Back and forth.
It was a great game, and a credit to Coach Haas and his players showing a lot of poise and making some very big plays on both sides of the ball. Some great adjustments, and they just announced that the Old Musket will return to Kenosha. So we're gonna wait for the final statistics here before we sign off. We'll be getting those from the personnel here at Carthage, who I'm sure will be very glad to hand that to us with big smiles on their faces. And Johnny, again, that last touchdown drive by the Carthage, you know, Carroll Evans was ready to get off the field on an incomplete pass, and roughing the passer kept that drive alive on third and long from like their own 10 or 20. So I just think Pioneers gave away too many chances to this ambitious and gutsy Carthage team that overall executed the ball beautifully.
Passing, yeah, they overcame some adversity today, Don. Carthage,
they sure did, yeah.
They got the W.
It's a statement win for this program. As now you see Chris DeVito holding the musket. That's Bryce Lowe, the quarterback. I hope that thing's not loaded. So a lot of excitement here.
Pretty excited crew.
We down here, yeah. So Carthage cannot be happier. Now they're singing the Carthage fight song.
And you got a very dejected Pios walking
off the field, yeah.
Just kind of in disbelief what happened to him.
You look
today.
At the parents, and it looks like a funeral procession as they're walking out of the stands. And yeah, a lot of high expectations. And
well, I sure thought so today, too.
They came out strong, you know, in the first half, you know, 14 first quarter points. Score. 21-12 at halftime, and, you know, got a big touchdown in the third quarter in answer to a nine straight points. And, you know, we see them hugging the coach here. So, and, you know, now saying, Johnny, in spite of Carthage's record, Carthage has all the makings of a great program. There's a lot to sell here when you consider a beautiful campus, beautiful athletic facilities, great academics, great proximity.
It's right on
equidistant to Chicago and Milwaukee. And when you see a lot of freshmen answering the bell here, Earl Jackson, Isaiah Bird in particular. There's certainly a lot they can build on from this win and moving forward for recruiting efforts. So I expect we'll see a lot of close games with Carthage in the near future.
Well, so, hats off to them and back to the drawing boards for the Pioneers.
Yep. So next week, the 4-4 Piles will take on Milliken back at Schneider Stadium, the last home game, senior day for the Piles, and looking to get back to the winning ways as they now go to 4-4. And Johnny and I are still in disbelief here, that's fair to say. And, sometimes it's like, I think it was Joni Amath used to say, statistics are for losers. And we were looking at a lot of numbers when instead of the heart of this Carthage team and what they're able to do. And so the final tally, the most important stat, 30 points for Carthage, 27 for the Pioneers. 21 first downs for Carthage, Carroll, compared to 20 for Carthage. Rushing yards, Carroll 26 for 101, Carthage 31 for 98. Passing yards, Carroll 252 yards, Carthage 222. Josh Raby was 24 for 36 with one interception. Bryce Lowe was 30 for 41, no interceptions. Total offense, Carroll 353 yards on 62 plays. Carthage 320 yards on 72 plays. Looking at some more stats here. Penalties for Carroll, 6 for 60 versus 5 for 48 for Carthage. Possession time, Carroll 25-24. Carthage 34 minutes 36 seconds.
Well, there you go.
Third down conversions, Carroll 5 for 13. Carthage, get this, 3 of 14. Fourth down conversions, 0 for 2 for Carroll, 2 for 4 for Carthage, which probably made the big difference here. Red zone scores, Carroll was 3 for 3. Carthage was 4 for 4. So very closely matched up. And
yeah, well.
Final score again. Carroll loses to Carthage 30-27 in the big rivalry game for the Old Musket. The Old Musket returns to Kenosha.
And we'll be back next year.
And from Art Keller Stadium, congrats again to the Firebirds of Carthage, and we'll see you next week at Schneider Stadium, the last home game, senior day for our Pios. Pre-game at 12:30, kickoff at 1. For Johnny, Anastasia back at the studio, and myself, downtown Donnie Brown, thanks for joining
us.
Thank
you, everyone.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. And
see ya!
Request out to the community, and I mean very broadly that we will see what our scope and reach is for the RFP, but we have worked on creating an RFP. We will put it out and we will see who is doing this work, who can help us come in and help coordinate some of the information that we expect will be coming in, how we can put that together. We're hoping that that is something that we do over the next 6 months or so. And then once we have some idea of what's out there, starting to go through it and vetting it and thinking through on what will be most helpful for our communities in our rural communities, both in Wisconsin and quite honestly, other rural communities in states near and far, how we might be able to use that information. We expect all of this starting to really come together in the next calendar year, early in the next calendar year, so that we can put together the plan and start rolling it out. We know that such a card exists in some format. It might not be exactly what we're imagining. Once we get that information back, we'll be able to say, this is what's out there. This is what we can do with what's currently out there. And this is where we'd like to take it. So we see it as multi-phase, but we'd like to get it rolled out as quickly as possible. So we're hoping that what we discover is we can easily take something that exists, start utilizing it, and tweak it as we go along.
That's great. Thank you, Patty. You know, you mentioned multi-phase, and we're highlighting today the card concept that you both are a part of, but our larger Rural Hunger Initiative is actually also multi-phased in that we're going to be piloting two other projects with food bank partners, one to explore the idea how we could expand school pantries, where you have food pantries in schools, which often are a convening place in many rural communities, as well as ag partnerships. I can't remember if it was Patty or you, Michelle, that talked about, you know, during the pandemic, sometimes the rural communities actually had faster access to food because locally there were farmers there. And so how can we think of new ways to partner with our farm communities and farmers to actually get fresh, nutritious food that's grown locally to the folks that are in need as well? So we'll be highlighting those across the next 2 years as well. Adrian, I'd like to turn back to you now before we take any questions that have come in from our viewers today. I was really struck about your thoughtfulness in the opening comments that you shared about the whole person and how you're now even screening for food insecurity as you see new patients. Can you speak to how UW Health has leveraged collaborations and creative solutions for your patients? I'm thinking, you know, not only about your comments of the whole person, but would just so appreciate your perspective on how that intersects with supporting communities and food insecurity.
Sure. I want to probably highlight two things. One, of course, at our hospital, we do have access to a food pantry, especially for our patients who are discharged and need support with being able to prepare meals, whether they've had a procedure done or things like that. I also want to highlight a particular program that comes out of our Office of Population Health that fits under our reproductive justice health priority area. And that program is a social determinants of health program that's really around a closed loop referral care coordination system. And many may be familiar with it, I'm not sure, but it's called ConnectRx. And so the ConnectRx program is an initiative that's under the Saving Our Babies umbrella initiative, which is a collaboration under the Dane County Health Council, which consists of some of the major health systems here in Dane County, as well as United Way of Dane County, Public Health Madison, Dane County, and Madison Metropolitan School District. And so with this program specifically, we are screening all Black birthing patients, or screening in general, we're screening all patients for social determinants of health. This particular program is for Black birthing patients who screen positive for one or more social determinants of health on our social determinants of health screening wheel. And so if patients are interested, they can receive a referral to the ConnectRx program, in which that referral goes to our community health worker team. And the community health worker supervisor basically triages some of those referrals. And then our community health workers are able to support patients through pregnancy and up to 1 year postpartum. And many of our patients who are being screened and who are part of this program, one of their highest needs are around food insecurity. And so our community health workers are able to actually drop off food to the patients wherever they feel most comfortable. And I think one of the great things about that is we really think about things from how do we meet people where they're at? And I feel like this is one of the major ways we are able to do so and to help reduce things around chronic stress and improve birth outcomes for our Black birthing patients. And then, of course, that's that life, you know, that lifespan perspective. And so we know if the birthing patient is good, more than likely we'll have a positive outcome for baby as well.
Thanks for sharing that, Adrian. I think one of the other things that, you know, for folks that are listening in today may not know just how long you all have been at this, similar to Patty and Michelle, this is nothing new for UW Health. And I think one of the things that as I was doing my homework to prepare for the conversation today, you all are doing this at all levels of UW,
yes,
right? I mean, from the family medicine provider, I think there's a pilot they're working on with Quick Trip maybe to figure out how to get easy access to fruits, to ConnectRx, to yes, funding an income pilot with the Madison Forward Fund. You guys are all over yes, this trying to, you know, just as you think of the whole person, you're not looking at, I think maybe Patty said tools in the toolbox. You're looking at multiple tools here to see how you can make a difference in this area.
Yes, from our tiniest babies to, you know, our elderly population.
Thank you so much, Adrian. I think these are just all excellent examples of collaboration and innovative thinking to really create some meaningful solutions for this important challenge that we now know as a result of this conversation today that many are challenging, right, or are facing today. So I can't just say enough how wonderful it's been to talk about all the partnerships that we have with each of your organizations and others, and to bring the topic and focus of rural hunger with a larger audience. You know, as I think about some of the key takeaways of this, I think that they not only apply to this initiative, but could be used more broadly as we think about tackling lots of other issues, right? Like the first place to start is, you know, what's already in our communities? How are we working with those assets and resources and not fighting against them, but elevating them and amplifying them and learning the true personal needs of each individual and community that we're serving? So that's one thing that I'm going to take away. I think the other is to use creativity. Patty, thanks for highlighting that gift of time to pause. You all are so busy. I can't even imagine what it took to get you all on the schedule today. So we thank you for that. But to pause and have that time for creativity, I think about that and how we all need to tackle problems. We're better when we can use those creative juices instead of operating from that place of scarcity that tragically many of the people that need this are working from a place of scarcity. So that's important. And then obviously collaboration. It's clear that each of you are no strangers to one another, but certainly if I had the 6 degrees of separation game, I'm sure it would multiply out by many factors by the passion that you each bring to your roles. And, you know, I think that we're just very, very fortunate to have you all working towards these challenges. And I know with you all at the helm, we're going to be successful. So I just want to thank you all today for your time. I want to thank all of the folks that were able to join us live and for those who will be able to watch this replay. It's just been a pleasure to guide this conversation and to hopefully be a small part of addressing rural hunger across Wisconsin. So with that, I want to wish you all a wonderful day and thank you so much for your time.
This is a special broadcast of the 7th Annual CAP Times Idea Fest, which returns September 17, 2023 to Madison with leaders from government, business, education, social justice, and culture. The theme focused on how we reckon with the change brought on by the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, and other forces. Civic Media proudly partnered with Idea Fest and now presents segments of this year's gathering edited gently for time. In this session, Paul Fanlon, editor and publisher of the Capital Times, introduces the topic of second chances, such as the reinstatement of federal Pell Grant eligibility for incarcerated people, with a focus on urgently needed community support and reforms for higher education in prisons. With moderator Molly Lasagna, Ascendium Senior Program Officer for Education Grantmaking.
Good evening, everybody. It's great to see all of you here. I'm Paul Fanlon, the publisher of the Capital Times, and we're just delighted to be here in South Madison for this session, which is part of our 7th annual CAP Times Idea Fest. This is the second year we've been at this venue, Madison College's Goodman South Campus, and Dr. Jack Daniels is here tonight. We'd like to thank him for last year and for this year as well for hosting us. Tonight's session is, as I was talking with the panelists before, not only important, but is especially timely, as you'll hear. I need to thank our many sponsors, starting with Ascendium Education Group, which designed tonight's session and is its sponsor. So thank you to Ascendium for putting this on. I'll go through a long list of sponsors just to touch on them. Our presenting sponsor for the entire event is Epic Systems again this year, for which we're very grateful. Our major sponsors are HealthX Ventures and Exact Sciences. Other sponsors include Madison Gas and Electric, Alliant Energy, University of Wisconsin-Madison, Godfrey Kahn Law, Hessenix, the University Research Park, the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation, Cargo Coffee, Leopold's Books Bar Cafe, Madison College, the aforementioned, and Forward Theater, and finally, Youngblood Beer Company. Our partners include the Wisconsin State Journal, Madison.com, and Civic Media. Just a quick word about the Capital Times. When you think of the Capital Times, we hope you think of excellent local independent journalism, news coverage, and we hope you also think of our informed progressive opinion, but I hope you also think of our EVU Foundation. Our foundation has made a major record, established a major record over the last 50 years, supporting bricks and mortar project like this building and the Black Business Hub nearby and other buildings in South Madison, and also has supported programs throughout South Madison, throughout the community for a long time. So, on to tonight's program. This year's reinstatement of federal Pell Grant eligibility for incarcerated people is a major step towards equity and access to higher education. The focus of tonight's conversation is on two questions. What role can community-based organizations play in strengthening supports for individuals reentering their communities? And two, given Pell Grant reinstatement, what reforms are most urgent for higher education in prisons? Our moderator tonight is Molly Lasagna, Ascendium Senior Program Officer for Education Grant Making. And instead of me double introducing the panel, I'm just going to turn it over to Molly so she can take it from here and have the folks introduce themselves. Again, thank you so much for coming out tonight. Thank you.
I'm Molly Lasagna. I'm a senior program officer at Ascendium. If you've not heard of Ascendium before, we are a post-secondary education funder, and we fund really at the heart in upward mobility for learners from low-income backgrounds. That looks like a lot of different things at Ascendium, but one of the things that it looks like is an investment in incarcerated adults who are working towards post-secondary success. And I say post-secondary success because I think one of the things to say, and one of the things that we're going to talk about tonight on the panel, is what that success looks like for this population of students, right? So are we talking about degree completion? Are we talking about meaningful employment? Are we talking about economic mobility? Are we talking about creating generational wealth for their own families and communities, right? It's a whole ecosystem of success that we want to push ourselves to think about when we think about this population of students. So part of the reason that we're here tonight to have this conversation with this incredible panel, and I'm going to try to talk as little as possible, because we have an unbelievable array of wisdom on the panel tonight, folks who represent all kinds of different inputs into that ecosystem of success or incarcerated individuals, currently and formerly incarcerated individuals. So I don't want to take up any more air space than I need to. I will just say one thing quickly before I turn it over to the panel. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask each member of the panel to introduce themselves, tell us a little bit about their work, tell us a little bit about, like I said, sort of how they are, which star in that constellation of supports they represent for incarcerated students, currently and formerly incarcerated folks. So I'll ask them to do that, each of them. And then I've got a couple of kind of big guiding questions with which Paul teed up at the beginning. But then we'd really love to open it up to questions.
You're listening to a special broadcast of portions of the annual Cap Times Idea Fest, which returns September 17th, 2023 to Madison. Moderator Molly Lasagna, Ascendium Senior Program Officer for Education Grant Making, continues with community leaders about community support and reforms for higher education in prisons.
Well, good evening, and thank you all for coming out tonight. I'm Ruben Anthony, the President and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Madison. The Urban League of Greater Madison is one of the oldest civil rights organizations in the nation. We've been around since 1910. Here in Madison, we've been around since 1968. So we do a host of things, which will come out even more during our discussion. But I come to this discussion recognizing that the Urban League of Greater Madison is only one part of the ecosystem of supportive services that are necessary for allowing formerly incarcerated people to find their way back to useful lives in society. There are so many things needed to help them put their lives back together that it requires all of us working together. And this discussion today is, you'll see that many of us are doing different aspects in this ecosystem. Depending on when one is incarcerated, the society that they are returning to can be much different than it was when they went in. Some people went in before the internet. Some people went in before social media. Some people went in before cell phones. So when they come out, it's a changed society. So they really need a lot of adjustment. Sometimes their families have moved on and have different lives. They have fallen behind in child support, so they need help with those types of things. They need assistance reuniting with their families. The prison systems today often send formerly incarcerated people back into society, not with 21st century skills. Most of the time, they need to update their skills. Many of the times when they go into the workplace, we need to ban the box. We need to stop asking questions about incarceration and give them a fair shot. They will need housing, and we need landlords to be fair. Many of them may have to go into restricted spaces. Regardless of their background, they need housing and they need our support. Many will need spiritual, social, and psychological support. They may need access to different therapies. They may need a second chance to get reintegrated back into society. It is to their benefit and our benefits that we help them integrate back into society. If we don't, they may be forced into conditions that may cause them to reoffend because of houselessness, or they may turn to drugs, or maybe they may turn to alcohol. As a service provider, we must continue to talk about how we can work together to help them transform their lives for the betterment of society. It is all about giving people a second chance in this life, and so we'll talk some about that today on this panel. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Anthony. You touched on so many incredibly important and meaningful pieces of this conversation, and I'm excited to continue to flesh out what we mean when we talk about this sort of ecosystem of support for this population of students. And a few minutes later in the panel, we'll talk a little bit more specifically about what it really looks like from a higher ed perspective, right? So we'll talk a little bit about the ban on Pell Grants and the return of Pell Grants for incarcerated students. But I think important to start with remarks from Dr. Anthony and from this sort of larger perspective on, because we know, one thing we know about higher ed in prison, and I think anybody on this panel who's been in a classroom in a prison will tell you this, is that it's much more than just those textbooks in those classrooms, right? There's a lot more going on in these programs to really help folks have a second chance at success, right? In some cases, a first chance at success, like, let's be honest.
Hey, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for this panel on this wonderful topic of discussion. My name is Dr. Kimani Alford. I am the Associate Vice President of Madison College, Associate Vice President of Student Access and Success at Madison College. Let's clear that up. So I've been in higher education probably about 23, 24 years. I began my journey in Milwaukee. And during that time, I was surrounded by many individuals, in the sense that were looking for a second chance at life, that were experiencing life, different challenges, different situations, different decisions that landed them in different journeys or on different journeys. While at Madison College in 2019, the opportunity to participate in the Second Chance Pell program arose. And at that time, we were really looking at ways to diversify our mission and really attach ourselves to meaningful initiatives and meaningful strategies that will really transform lives. And at that time, I ran to our president and was like, hey, Dr. Daniels, here's an opportunity for us to do X, Y, and Z. And it became a passion for me. It was one that we had knew of. That was occurring within higher education, but it was one that we wasn't partaking in. So when the opportunity to participate and submit in a proposal specifically to the Department of Education to participate was one that we couldn't turn down. So we went through all of the different processes that the Department of Ed required and submitted the proposal. And in 2020, we became one of the institutions, actually the only institution that was selected in the state of Wisconsin to participate in the second round of the Second Chance Pell program. Yeah, sorry, Peter. So during that particular time, it's allowed us really to be engulfed in this landscape and really understanding the impact that prison education has on students and being able to transform lives, being able to create an opportunity for sustainability once those that are incarcerated basically are released out into basically society. So it connects us as far as to our passion overall. And it reminds me of the first time I attended one of our graduations for prison education programming.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal. And so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weikert team gets that. Our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at Weikert-Lake Point.com.
Radio.com.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio.
You're listening to The Shaw.
You're listening to The Shaw.
W-E-K-546-XDR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Don't bet by algorithms.